Welcome to the Pick Cop Podcast. Today, we are doing a deep dive into something incredibly painful, but also, well, also something that can be incredibly regenerative. We're talking about healing from broken trust, from betrayal. I think we all know that feeling, that absolute gut punch, that moment your reality just shifts and the foundation you stood on is just gone. For so many of us, when trust shatters, it really truly feels like the end of everything.
It absolutely does. It feels like a terminal point. And, you know, the work from Pitcott really confirms this. Trust isn't just some nice to have. It is the bedrock, the absolute bedrock of any meaningful relationship. Yeah. Without it, connection is basically impossible. But here's the crucial message, and it's really why we're doing this deep dive. While betrayal is just agony, healing, and rebuilding are genuinely possible. We're taking the clear, actionable insights from Pitcott's resources to give you a kind of map through that journey.
And that's exactly our mission for you today. We are not here to minimize the pain at all. Instead, we're unpacking the brutal emotional reality of it, and then laying out a clear, structured framework for moving forward. It's about respecting the hard work involved and, you know, providing a path that both people can follow.
Right. A path towards something new, maybe even something stronger.
Yeah.
So let's start right at the epicenter of the damage.
Okay, let's do that. So we've established it feels catastrophic, but what does broken trust actually do to a person? I mean, beyond just making them sad, psychologically, what's happening?
Well, what's fascinating here is how clearly the Pitcott framework defines the three major impacts, the things that cut the deepest and really need immediate attention. First, there's the overwhelming emotional turmoil.
Okay.
We're talking about a state that feels violent, you know, unpredictable. Utterly exhausting. It's this vicious cycle of intense anger, then deep sadness, then just paralyzing confusion.
That phrase, a violent, unpredictable roller coaster, that is so accurate. It's the feeling of being totally adrift without a compass in a storm you never even saw coming.
Exactly. And that feeling, that disorientation, it leads directly to the second consequence, which is so destructive. Self-doubt. This is where you internalize the betrayal. You start to agonize, not just over what they did, but over your own reality. You ask yourself, how did I miss this? Was I completely blind? Was I weak for believing them? And that self-blame, it's just so corrosive because it destroys your ability to trust yourself.
That's such a crucial insight. So the betrayal makes you doubt your own judgment. You're not just betrayed by your partner, you.
Right.
You feel betrayed by your own perceptions.
Precisely. And if you don't address that self-doubt, the third and, you could argue, the most primal impact just stays active. A devastating loss of security. Psychologically, trust is safety. It's what lets us relax. When it's gone, the Pitcott material says even the ground beneath your feet feels shaky. And that instability is what makes the immediate aftermath just so taxing on your mind and your body.
Okay, so we understand the impact. It's catastrophic. But here's what I find really interesting. Trust rarely shatters all at once. It feels that way. But there are almost always whispers before the storm, right? This feels like a key area for learning, so we can spot those cracks before everything collapses.
Yeah, and this brings up that whole question of cognitive dissonance. Like, what signs are we overlooking or just explaining away?
Right.
Pitcott details several red flags we often miss because we're so emotionally invested. The first one is pretty simple. It's just overlooking red flags.
Right.
The observation is just so poignant. Love makes us blind.
Yeah.
We rationalize. We explain away weird behaviors, odd discrepancies. We give them the benefit of the doubt way, way past the point where we probably should have confronted it.
We kind of invent a narrative for the person we want them to be instead of just dealing with the person who is actually in front of us.
Exactly. And that invention, that ties right into the second sign. Lingering doubts, even after you've been reassured, there's that little feeling in your gut, that persistent something still feels off. That's the voice we're so often taught to ignore. We say, oh, I'm just being paranoid. But according to this framework, that voice is a critical warning.
But how do you know the difference? I mean, how do you separate a legitimate doubt from just general anxiety, especially if you've been hurt before?
That is a great question. And the answer often lies in the third red flag, the context of their response. If your concerns are met with defensive responses, that is a huge signal. You bring something up calmly, and instead of engaging with it, they flip it on you. They say, why don't you trust me? And suddenly your valid question is an attack on your character.
Wow. Yeah, that's weaponizing the relationship. It forces the person with the concern to go on the defensive, shuts everything down.
Completely. And that leads to the final and I think the cruelest trick in this pattern, gaslighting. This is more than just being defensive. This is intentionally manipulating your reality, trying to make you feel crazy for simply asking questions. They'll deny things they said, shift blame, anything to destroy your confidence so they can avoid accountability.
Yeah.
Recognizing that pattern is so critical.
Okay, That is a powerful framework. So we've covered the pain and the warning signs. Now for the tough truth. Rebuilding is, it's hard work. But the Pitcott material provides a really clear starting point. This part is for the person who was betrayed, the steps they need to take.
Yes, and the starting line is all about reclaiming your self-worth and just acknowledging what happened. The very first step is non-negotiable. Acknowledge the pain. You cannot rush this. You can't bury it. The guidance is clear. Feel it. Cry. Journal. Rage.
Healing has to start with honesty about how much it hurts.
You can't skip ahead to being fine. You have to actually process the emotion, not just avoid it. You can't. And if you try, you're just delaying the inevitable. So, second, once you've acknowledged it, you have to push for open communication. There is absolutely no progress without raw, real conversations. The betrayed person has to be allowed to ask the hard questions.
And the betrayer has to answer them without getting defensive again.
Without getting defensive. It's the only way to build a new foundation, even if it feels incredibly shaky at first. And of course, that's often just too big to manage on your own.
Right. We don't always have the tools for that level of intensity.
Which is why the third step is so important. Seek professional help. A therapist isn't just for serious cases. They are objective guides, navigators through the chaos. They can help you separate the betrayal from your own self-worth.
And the fourth step seems to be about setting up the new rules of engagement for the relationship.
It is. You have to set boundaries. Define what is okay and what is absolutely not okay going forward. And Pitcott defines boundaries not as punishment, but as safety nets. They protect your healing.
I love that. Safety nets, not walls or punishments. That reframes it completely. And fifth, it's about time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Rebuild slowly. The metaphor in the source material is just perfect. Trust is not Amazon Prime delivery. It takes time. It requires consistency, patience, and just a real recognition that this is measured in months, maybe years, not days.
And that brings us to the last step, which is, I think it's the hardest one for a lot of people to even think about, forgiveness.
It's so hard, but it's vital to clarify what this means. To practice forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not excusing what happened. It is, and I'm quoting here, releasing the poison so it doesn't eat you alive. It's an act of self-liberation. Mm-hmm. You do it for you, not for them. You're handing the burden of bitterness back where it belongs.
That is such a clear and structured way to look at healing. You know, from acknowledging the pain all the way to that act of self-liberation, it's all there thanks to the wisdom from Pitcott. If these insights are resonating with you at all, we really encourage you to explore the resources they have.
Absolutely. For these kinds of essential frameworks and guidance, please visit www.pitcott.com for more information.
Okay, so now we have to shift perspective. Rebuilding takes two. And a huge part of the burden, really, the heaviest part of the repair work, falls on the one who broke the trust. This is the map for the betrayer.
It is. And these steps are all about radical accountability and consistent action. Moving way beyond just saying, I'm sorry.
The first step feels fundamental, just non-negotiable.
It is. Take responsibility. There can be absolutely no excuses. Own it fully.
Oh.
The second you try to minimize it or rationalize it or blame someone else, the healing process just stops cold.
100% ownership.
100%. Second, you must show genuine remorse. Regret isn't a script you read. It has to come through in your tone, tears, and actions. The other person has to feel that you understand the specific harm you caused.
Which leads right into what has to be the core component for any chance of this working.
Honesty. Radical honesty. The third step is to be transparent. Uncomfortably transparent. You share the details they ask for. No more secrets. And Pitcott uses this vital metaphor. Transparency is oxygen now.
Wow, that really says it all, doesn't it? Transparency is oxygen.
It does. If you hide anything, even something you think is tiny and irrelevant, you are starving the relationship of the very air it needs to breathe.
So what about those repeated questions when the betrayed person needs to hear the same painful details again and again?
Yes, you answer them again and again with patience. That's the fourth step. Consistent actions, no grand gestures. They don't matter. What matters is the daily, steady, boring effort. Being where you say you'll be, answering the phone, prioritizing their security over your own discomfort. That is how trust gets replanted.
That daily commitment, that's what the long-term effort looks like. You describe it as a long hike, not a sprint, just one foot after the other together.
Exactly. And sustaining that bond, moving beyond just crisis management, requires focusing on a few key areas.
Okay, so first up is prioritize communication.
Yes, talk, even when it's uncomfortable. You have to fight that urge to avoid the painful topics because avoidance to them feels like secrecy, and silence just kills trust all over again.
And second, you have to actually connect again, not just talk about the damage.
Right. You have to build emotional intimacy. You have to move past being emotionally wounded roommates. Actively find ways to reconnect. Laugh, share, connect. Find the good things again.
Third, and this seems important for both people, is acknowledging the effort.
Oh, it's huge. Show appreciation. I love this metaphor from the material, too. Gratitude is glue. Say thank you often. When you acknowledge the hard work the other person is doing, it makes them feel seen. It makes the whole thing feel sustainable.
Right. And fourth, it's coming back to that idea of time.
Cultivate patience. We said it before. Trust grows like a seed, not like instant noodles. There will be bad days. There will be setbacks. Patience is what keeps a setback from completely derailing the entire process.
And finally, the goal isn't just to get back to where you were. It's to be better.
That's the ultimate goal. Seek growth, both individually and together. A strong bond needs two strong souls who are actively working to be better people than they were when this all happened. That's the difference between just surviving a crisis and actually using it to create profound positive change.
What a journey. You know, if there is one core takeaway from this deep dive into the Pitcott sources, it's this. Broken trust is painful, absolutely. But the goal isn't to erase the betrayal. It's to learn from it, to heal, and to grow into a relationship that is stronger, more honest than it was before. Could this be your fresh start?
We really hope these insights give you the clarity and the courage you need to start that process. And remember, this structure, this wisdom, it comes directly from the best-selling ebooks available in the Pitcott store. Resources designed to guide you through these exact challenges.
To download and explore those incredibly valuable resources with even more step-by-step guidance, please visit www.pitcott.com/books.
And we'd also ask, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And please press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so others who might be facing these same difficulties can find the structure and insight too.
Thank you for being there with us.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.